In the first reading from the prophet Jeremiah that we heard this morning, we heard how the prophet was struggling with his identity as a member of the people of God, most especially because he was a prophet of the people of God. He had to deliver very difficult messages a lot of the time, and because of that, his own people hated him. Jeremiah tells us in the first reading how, because he has to proclaim the word of the Lord, he has been made a reproach. The people cast him to the side. The people want nothing to do with him. And it is all in the name of the Lord. For us as a Christian people, especially at times as a Catholic people, in this particular area of the country, it can be something of a daunting task. It can be incredibly disheartening to attempt to live a good Christian life in the culture in which we find ourselves. It's not an easy path, nor is it meant to be. The wisdom of the world, the wisdom of our secular culture, many times would have us stray away from the path of the Lord. Christians are always praying, what's the point? You all limit yourselves to these rules, these arbitrary designs that make no sense. Just let it all go. Do whatever you want. What does it matter? This is what the world, this is what Satan, through the different avenues of our culture, through different TV shows, movies, music, books, Satan desires to get into our hearts, get into our minds, to drill his way in little by little, so that at the end, we believe that it is ourselves who desire to let go of our love of the Lord, to let go of receiving the compassion and mercy of God. Jeremiah, in a particular way, he not only had his own people against him, but he had, at that time, different pagan cultures coming and attacking the people of Israel. The people of Israel had to fight both culturally and at times physically against the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians. With an outlook like this, how could it be at all that Jeremiah seeks to hold on to what he knows to be true? How can it be that in the midst of so much death, destruction, hopelessness, snares and traps of every kind, how can it be that Jeremiah desires to hold on to the one true God when there's everything going against him? The truth of the matter is, Jeremiah comes from a priestly line. Jeremiah comes from a priestly family within the nation of Israel. His father and his mother would have taught him to seek first the wisdom of God, to seek first the wisdom that outlasts, that outlives every other wisdom available. Many people these past months have been congratulating me and giving me encouragement as I've kind of reached the end of my seminary formation, especially this deacon year, and as I approached closer and closer to my priesthood ordination, I received many heartfelt, many very genuine congratulations and thanks. And many people have asked me, how is it that you got to this point? There's such a shortage of priests. We're happy you're here. We're delighted you're here, but we don't understand how you got to that point. What's the key? There are many elements that have worked their way into my life that, by the grace of God, by the prayer of His holy people, that I have finally reached this point to share in the priesthood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But each and every time, I want them to understand that the most pivotal key in my vocation story, in my life, to have achieved and reached this phase of my life was by the prayer and the example of my mother and my father. My mother and father, while I was growing up, I more often heard them tell me no than yes. Whatever it was I asked for, the vast majority of the time, my mom and dad would look at me very patiently, very kindly, but with authority, they would tell me, no, you don't need that right now. Leave it to the side. You don't need it. As a child, as an adolescent, growing up, there were times where I had perhaps a bit of an anger because of that. How can my parents tell me no to this? Don't they understand how important this is? Whatever it was, whether it was a particular movie I wanted to go see, a particular game, a particular computer, whatever it was. Having reached this stage in my life, I thank the Lord that my parents had the wisdom to tell me no at the right times. My parents gave me a foundation to recognize what is good, to recognize what is important, to recognize what truly lasts. As many of you know, my mother died and entered into the glory of heaven a few years ago. And in the process of me coming back and taking care of her as she struggled and battled against cancer, there were many things that I thanked my mother for. Thank you, Mom, for giving me life. Thank you, Mom, for changing me as an infant. Thank you, Mom, for always making sure I had food on the table. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So many thank yous, I really probably couldn't even count them. The last thing that I ever thanked my mother for, as she laid on her deathbed in a coma for the last few days of her life, I just kind of sat next to my mom and I leaned in and I said, Mom, thank you for teaching me to love and know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every other wisdom in this world ultimately has its end. No matter what it is, whether we believe that we will be saved because we're American, because of our nationality, whether it is that we believe that we will be saved because of our political party, whether we believe that we'll be saved because we follow this and that ideology. The only thing that lasts, both in this life and the next, is our relationship with our Savior. Again, my parents didn't give me much, but what they did give me, I can never fully pay back. And I thank them for that. I thank them that each and every day there is something more that I can do. There is something more that I can give of myself, both with them, with my mother and with my father, and in a most special way, having been given the grace and the blessing of priesthood, that I might be able to share a little more with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I share this story with all of you that as you live your lives and work your way down this journey of life, that you please remember and recognize that among our sons and daughters are those who are set aside by our Lord and Savior to, for the men, be priests, for the women to become sisters and nuns dedicated entirely to our Lord and Savior. Many of you might give me the response of, in this culture, it's so difficult, Father, you simply don't understand. The fact of the matter is, culture is what we, within our households, within our families, allow to take hold. What is culture than nothing more than what we allow to be acceptable? We take a look at the state of the world, we have to recognize that we play a part in how the world has come to be in this day and in this age. And yet, as a good Christian people, there is hope. We are awake this morning. The Lord has given us the breath of life to live one more day alongside Him, alongside our brothers and sisters, that we might take this opportunity to change what we know we need to change, to learn how to become closer to our Lord and to our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we might learn to love that same Lord and those same brothers and sisters more deeply. My friends, when families are holy, when mothers and fathers together decide to provide for their children the greatest gift of all, the gift of knowing and loving their Lord and Savior, this shortage that we so call experience of priests, sisters, nuns, brothers, the Lord, by the example of a child's parents, the Lord guides them where they need to go. The Lord has a special plan, has a special place for parents within the lives of their children, and a special place for grandparents within the lives of their grandchildren. That today, as Jeremiah expressed in his letter, how he struggled but continued struggling against a culture that hated him, against a culture that hated God, that we together with the Lord might move ever forward, day by day and step by step.